Let us all say amen. I want to thank all our brothers that have gone before me, that have made this worship service possible by their participation in songs to our God, leading us through our service as far as the Lord's Supper and offering scripture reading that was given, and also the prayers that was made on behalf of the saints. And we want to welcome you this afternoon to our worship service. If you are a member of the Lord's body, we want to thank you for your presence on this conference call on this afternoon. And if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, however, if you're visiting with us, we want to share with you that you are our honored guest. And I know Brother Brooks shared on this morning how in the afternoon we tried to bring messages that are designed for Christian living, and the earlier morning worship is designed for evangelism. However, we want to also share that in both messages where he still deals with how to live as a Christian, I still have a responsibility to share the gospel with those that are on the line. And having said that, if you are visiting with us, I would like you to know from the Old Testament in Jeremiah, the 10th chapter and the 23rd verse, Jeremiah wrote a pen, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Jeremiah realized, if you're on the call this afternoon, the same thing that you should realize is that when it comes to directing ourselves spiritually, man does not have that ability. God has given us his word, and that's why Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, second scripture I'll give, in Matthew 6:33, Jesus gave us direction where we can find those steps from. When he said in Matthew 6:33, he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." It was a responsibility in God's plan that the kingdom of God is what man should seek when it comes to their spiritual walk. It was the kingdom of God. And so that's why when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night in John chapter 3 and verse number 3, him knowing that Jesus was a teacher sent from God, Jesus responded to him by answering and said unto him in John 3:3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So that which Jesus said one should seek, Jesus said, unless a person was born again spiritually, he could not see the kingdom of God. And so I'll show in my message today, if you're on the call and not a member of the Church of Christ, you may consider yourself a Christian, but I'll share with you how one become a Christian in the Word of God and show in the Word how that happens. Give a biblical example of how that happened in the Word of God. And so in Acts 2:47, the Bible says when that church assembled, he said, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So my hope this afternoon in sharing the Word of God, that you will understand the Word of God and that you have a desire to be added to the church in order that you can be saved. No one has salvation until they're added to the church by obeying the commands of God. And so this afternoon, I want to speak from the subject, "For God is love." We're continuing our study in John's writing to Christians. This letter is to Christians. And if you're on the call this afternoon and you may not be a Christian, however, the Word of God is designed for all. However, in this letter, John specifically wrote to Christians. And so he talked to them, as I would deal with 1 John chapter 4. I thank our young brother for reading our scripture this afternoon, and I will begin at verse number 7 of 1 John chapter 4 and deal from the subject where we'll find in the 8th verse where I took the title, "For God is Love." For God is love. We don't want to remind us that are Bible students that the New Testament was written in Greek and it had to be translated to English. So there were actually two Greek words that are used that were translated into love in English. And again, as I try to do in my teaching, I'm not so concerned with how to spell or pronounce the Greek word. There are those that desire that, but more importantly, I want you to understand in English what God has said to us in His Word that was translated into English, that you can get an understanding of the Word of God. So we're speaking this afternoon, "For God is love." The Apostle John writes to Christians about the love of God. And so in verse 7, John, showing his affection toward the Christian, he said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." What John was writing him about here is love gets its beginning from God. And he also showed love is one form of proof, or one form of proof that one has love is he is born of God. Notice what he says in the text. Everyone that is born, and that's spiritually born of God, and knoweth God. Love is that characteristic that a Christian must have. And then in verse 8, where I get my title from, he says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God." John said, "He that does not love has never known God." He says, "For God is love." And that's what we want to talk about this afternoon, about the love of God and the love that God has for man, how John writes, how God showed that love, and how we are to express that love in his writing. So we want to say that God is love. But I also want to make the point, because John made it, however, God does not love everything. That's why John said, love, John 1 John 2:15, John said, "Love not the world, don't have no affection for the world, neither the things that are in the world." Excuse me. John writes that. He said, "For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So again, God is love. However, God does not love everything. And then we as Christians should not love everything. We hate what God hates. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. The Proverbs writer, you can make note, Proverbs writer numerates six things that God hates. We hate also, those that are Christians, what God hates. We ought to hate sin and never encourage sin as a Christian. John writes in verse number 9 of 1 John 4, John says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. What John said here is, God sent his only begotten Son. In other words, there's only one of his kind. God is the only, Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Now, those that obey the Lord, we become sons of God, and those that are female becomes daughters of God. But God had only one begotten Son, and that was Jesus Christ. He said, and that he came into the world, he sent him into the world that we might live through him. God sending his only Son showed the love that he already had for the world. Yeah, so this was not something emotional. We'll talk about love because sometimes Christians misunderstand biblical love from love that you find in may find in Webster's definition of love, which is not the same that God has when we talk about that love that God talks about in the Word of God. And the Greek New Testament has two words that was translated into love, as we'll show in our lesson. But John says, herein, verse number 10, is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sin. What John was reminding them is that the word propitiation is a means whereby sin is covered and forgiven. Through Christ's sacrificial death, God shows mercy to the sinner. And I'll talk about that today, how the sinner becomes a Christian in the Word of God. So in Romans chapter 3, and the verse is number 25, the Bible says, whom God has sent forth, talking about Christ Jesus, verse 24, to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the, notice now, remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. So God will show forgiveness for our sins that are past through his forbearance or long-suffering. The love of God, or the love that God possesses, has been revealed in the gift of his Son. God gave his Son. His Son is the gift, and that gift shows the love that God had for man. John said, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. See, again, one of the first forms of love is where, and again, staying with the language, in the English language, we have the word Philadelphia. And those that are familiar with that term, Philadelphia means brotherly love. And philia is where we get that first word from, and that's an affection, or an affectionate regard for a friend or a family member. It's love of family. Notice what Jesus said when we look at that first term in Matthew chapter 10 and the verse is number 37. Jesus says this when he talks about that type of love, when he says it's a family type love. He that loveth father and more, mother, excuse me, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So Jesus here identifies that affection that one can have for a family member, that first type of love that Jesus identifies here in the text. And so we see that in the Word of God, the word love that was translated from the Greek into English, and it is the word love that was given. But Jesus said, John, right? Again, remember, John is writing about love, and he says, we ought also to love one another. And then he says, verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us, or his love is matured in us when we have love in us. And he said that no man has seen God. And so we want to just share with us from John during the writing. He said this in John chapter 1, and the verse is number 18. He said then, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of his Father, he has declared him. So John writes that no one has seen God, but however, there is the divine nature, a deity, of God, is not seen with the eye. However, the three divine personalities are of one nature. Yeah, three personalities, one nature. There are therefore three persons in the one God. And I'll identify that in 1 John chapter 4, where we at in verse 9, he says, in this was manifested the love of God, that's the Father, toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. So you have God the Father, and he sent his Son into the world. But now, that's one person, the God in the Godhead is the Father. But in 1 John chapter 1, you also have God the Son is God also, because John records in 1 John itself, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Christ also was God, but Christ was made flesh, and that is the Son. So you have the Son of God, the Son, you have God the Father, and then we also have in Acts chapter 5, in verses 3 and 4, the Bible identifies the Holy Spirit as also being God itself. God, the Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 5. And the verse is number 3. Notice what Peter says to Ananias here. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? He said, while it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God. And the God he's talking about is the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. So we see here that you have three persons in the one God. There's one nature, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They all work together for the betterment of man. And we'll talk about that love that the Godhead had for man. And so back in 1 John chapter 4, John says, hereby, verse 13, know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. So the Bible records that God has given us his Spirit. We talked about that on last week. Those that remember the text in the Bible, that God has given that to us. And so we find here, let us look at Galatians letter and show this, how God gives us his Spirit. How, and then how the Spirit works in the Christian, as well as the sinner. In Galatians chapter 3 and the verses number 2, Paul wrote to the Galatians, this only what I learn of you. He asked the question, receive ye the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Paul let them know that you didn't receive the Spirit by the works of the law. He said you received it by the hearing of faith. How do we know that? Because in Romans chapter 10, and the verse is number 17, Romans chapter 10, and the verse is number 17, Paul, the same Paul, wrote this. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Holy Spirit uses the word of truth as the source or the medium by which he influences the Christian as well as the alien sinner to obey God. The word of God is that medium or that form of system of communication. It's just like if I were today, I can watch the news to get information. That's the medium by which I'm getting the information. I can watch it on TV, or I may hear it on the radio. The radio would be the medium by which it is used for me to get information. Well, in like manner, the Holy Spirit uses the word of truth or the word of God to influence the Christian. That's why we are studying this letter, as well as the sinner. So if you're on the call today, in Acts chapter 8, we see how the word of God influences the sinner in Acts chapter 8. And verse number 35, showing an example of how the word of God influences even the sinner. At the time, we have the Ethiopian eunuch was a sinner, and he asked to be taught the word of God. In verse number 31, the student asked the teacher, he says, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And so when Philip got with him, the Bible says in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So what Philip used was the word of God, was the medium the source that was used, and what the Holy Spirit have influence on this person. He preached unto him Jesus, and we can see by inference that he talked to him about being baptized because, excuse me, the eunuch said in verse number 36, as they went on their way, they came into a certain water and watched the influence of the Holy Spirit on the sinner. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? Well, the word of God was given by the Holy Spirit. Peter made that reference when he wrote to those Christians in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 21, where he said, for the prophecy came in old time, came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So those scriptures that we have were influenced by the Holy Spirit for those people to write that. So you have a case where this man was influenced by the word of God to obey God. And so we find here, this is an example of how one become a Christian. He preached unto him Jesus. He shared with him three facts found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb, and he rose again the third day, never to die again. And to become a Christian, a son of God, like the begotten son, I'll share with you at the close, one must also imitate what Christ did. So the Bible says he had preached unto him the word of God and preached unto him about Jesus Christ. He shared with him about being baptized. He preached to him about hearing the gospel, about believing the gospel, repenting of your sins, and confessing Jesus Christ to be the Son of God and being baptized. Now notice you'll see step number 4, step number 5 also shown in the text. And as they went on their way, Acts 8:36, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Anytime anyone is baptized, the biblical example we have is to have that person express openly in words what they believe in their heart. And they ought to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is the example that we have from the Bible. The Bible says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both the teacher and the student, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Why was he rejoicing? Because he had become a Christian. He had obeyed the will of God and did what God had said. And so we want to talk, again, that's how one become a Christian. That is preaching evangelism. One has to become a Christian in order to receive the blessings. All of God's blessings, spiritual blessings, are in Christ Jesus. And so as we move, we want to talk briefly about what John talked about that spirit of love that one ought to possess. He said in verse 13, because he has given us of his spirit. So we show how God gives us his spirit. And so I want to say that when we talk about the spirit, I want us to look just briefly at what is the first fruit of the spirit. Look in Galatians 5:22 as we get to define what love is that God is talking about, that he had for man, that we ought to have for everyone. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But notice, the first one is love. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. And so I want to say to us, when the Word of God dwells in the heart of the Christian as well as the sinner, it can influence one's behavior. But when we talk about this love, love is an action, not a feeling. This action always seeks the best and highest good for another, regardless of the situation and or the consequences. This love or this action always seeks the highest and the best good for another, regardless of the situation and or the consequences. That's what love the one has for another. That's the love that one would have for another person. That's the highest form of love. This type of love is not driven by one's emotions. Remember, God's love for man has nothing to do with his emotions toward man, because God loved man from the beginning. That's why, excuse me, the Bible says, if we stay with the text, John writes, "For we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoso shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." So what John was saying, that one that confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, then John said that is one characteristic that shows that one has the love of God in him. If it dwells in him, John said that's how. But then it's not just a confession, because we have given to us by Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 8. When you talk about this confession, is not just lip service. Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, "This people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." So it's not just a confession. It must be supported. So John says, "And we have known and believed," verse 16, 1 John 4:16, back there, "that God has the love that God has to us. God is love." Notice he emphasized that again. "And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect or complete, that we may have boldness or confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment or punishment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." So John says, when you have that mature type of love, it casteth out fear. John said that because where there is fear, there is also torment or punishment. And then John says, "We love God because he first loved us. How do we show our love for God? John wrote about it as I move toward a close. In John 14, in verse 15, how do we love God? How do we express our love for God? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how we express or show our love for God, by keeping his commandments. Then he closes what we call chapter 4. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. But he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? John said, there should be a love for man which corresponds with one's love for God. You cannot love God and not love your brother. And then John says, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Note what Jesus said in John 13 before I give the invitation of salvation, the plan of salvation, or the acts that one must do. John said, or John wrote what Jesus said in John 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus said this, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. And he said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And that love that Jesus talked about is that love for man's highest good, that love for man's best good. That's the love that Jesus is talking about in the text. And so that high form of love, as Brother Brooks shared on this morning's message, is that one become a Christian. The greatest love we can extend to any person is sharing with them the gospel, giving them opportunity to become a Christian. And that happens in how does one become a Christian, a child of God, a member of the church? We find in the Romans letter how we have said how what Jesus did, he died on the cross. He suffered on the cross for our sins. He died after his suffering. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. Well, as I said earlier, you must imitate that. Look in Romans chapter 6. In verses 1, the Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid, how shall we that are, notice now, we have to die to sin, live any longer therein. He said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ was baptized into his death. So you have to be baptized into Jesus Christ's death. You have to die with Christ. Christ died for sin, you die to sin. And then verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so when I rise up, I know now I'm walking. And then I'm walking in that one, we talked about the church of Christ, the kingdom of God. We find that written in the Romans letter. In Romans 16, chapter 16, verse 16, he says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. If you're on the call and you're not a Christian, I share with you how the eunuch became a Christian, what you must do to become a Christian. You must hear the gospel, believe it, repent of your sin, confess as the eunuch did that Jesus Christ, Son of God, be water baptized for the remission of sin, and the Lord would add you to the church. If you're subject to the invitation, get back with the person on the call, and they can contact us so we can make that happen for you today. I thank you very much for your patience in listening.